At Wildwood Community Church, we are for following Jesus together to the glory of God. We're for the church, for the community, for the nations, and for the next generation. To contact us or for more information, see our website at wildwoodchurch.org.
If you've been with us the last few weeks, you know that we have been walking through a sermon series called Hymn Book, a series that is in the Psalms, Psalms that are for our souls. In the middle of our Bibles, God has placed 150 songs and prayers in the Psalms that God desires we plant in the center of our souls, that we might learn how we might pray to Him and how we might praise Him and how we might follow Him all the days of our lives. Over the last few weeks, we have looked at Psalm 8, Psalm 23, Psalm 34, Psalm 46, and Psalm 67. But today, in part 6 of this series, we're going to look at Psalm 90. Psalm 90, the psalm that Moses wrote, the oldest psalm in the Psalter. We're going to look at that today in Psalm 90. But before we look to Psalm 90, before we look at Psalm 90, I want to just set the table for us on the subject matter that we will see in this great psalm. And I want to encourage you with this great truth. Dear friends, God is bigger. God is bigger. Bigger than what? Bigger than everything. Bigger than our problems, bigger than our successes, bigger than the sum total of our lives. God is bigger. And when we come face to face with something much bigger than us, we can be comforted as we get a sense of our place inside of the overall scope of the universe. I don't know if you've ever had this experience. If you're standing on the beach looking out over the ocean, you see its vastness and you imagine its depth, and it just kind of takes your breath away. You realize that you're just a speck inside of this grand scheme, and yet God knows who you are. Or you go outside on a night like Friday night and you look up to see the aurora borealis, the northern lights in North or South Oklahoma City. We look up and we see that in the sky, and we're reminded again that there is a God who is bigger than all of this, and He has created it, and yet He knows our names. When we look across the vastness of creation, we're reminded that God is just bigger. And yet we can have peace because the God who is bigger than it all knows us and loves us. And we can make our home in Him. Friends, this truth about God is the subject that Moses gets into in Psalm 90. So I want to read Psalm 90 for us, all 17 verses. And then after reading it, we'll back up and make a couple of observations. Psalm 90 is a prayer of Moses, the man of God. And it says this: Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Friends, in Psalm 90, I want us to see two great truths today that I believe will encourage our hearts this morning. So what are those truths? The first truth I want to encourage us with is this. Life is brief and difficult, but God is eternal and powerful. Life is brief and difficult, but God is eternal and powerful. Now, where do we see that in this psalm? Well, we see it in the first 11 verses, but how do we see it? Well, the first thing we see in this psalm is that Moses begins by reflecting on his mailing address. He's going to tell us about his home. And what we see is he talks about that he has had a dwelling place in all of the generations, for all the generations that he knew, he and the descendants after him and those older than him that had left Egypt with him, all of them have had a home in the midst of their lives. But the more accurate thing, maybe for us to say from a descriptive fashion, is they did not have one home, they had many homes. In Numbers chapter 33, there is a description given of the places where the nation of Israel lived from the time they left Egypt until they made it to the promised land. And it mentions 42 different places. So where was Moses' mailing address? Well, he had lived 42 different places as he led the nation of Israel out of Egypt and towards the promised land. That's more, 42 places in 40 years, that's more places than most college students will live, right? That's a lot of places. They were moving a lot. You can imagine the disruption that that might have felt. And I was thinking about how many places 42 places is in 40 years. And of course, as a child of the 80s, I thought of Huey Lewis's great song, The Heart of Rock and Roll. And in The Heart of Rock and Roll, it mentions a number of locations. Anybody know how many places are mentioned in The Heart of Rock and Roll? 14 places. It seems like a lot. Only 14 places are mentioned in that song. Or maybe for some of you, you might think about Johnny Cash's song, I've Been Everywhere. Anybody know how many locations are mentioned in that song? 92 places are mentioned in that song. So not quite everywhere, but many places had the nation of Israel been. And, you know, those of you who are in the military, those of you who have worked in an industry that you've been transferred a number of times, you can resonate with the fact of moving often and sometimes the disruption that has on your relationships and on your life. In the face of all of those moves, where did Moses consider his home? Well, Moses tells us where his home is. His home was not in any of those locations. It wasn't wherever he put his tent. His home was in God. He says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place. We have dwelt in you. We have found our identity in you. We have found our comfort in you. We have found a place of care and a place of trust in you. Not in the locations where we have lived, but in you, O Lord, we have found our home. And this is a significant upgrade. Some of you may be wanting to move into a better house. Friends, there is no better house than to move and find your home in the Lord. Why do I say that? Well, because the home that we have in the Lord is everlasting. It's not transient. See, every house we live in now, even a place that you think you've lived for a long time, 30, 40, 50 years, that is nothing compared to eternity. We have an eternal home, an everlasting home in the Lord. The Lord was there before the mountains were created, before the earth was formed. God was. From everlasting in the past to everlasting in the future, God has always been. If we make our home in Him, we always have a home no matter where we live. There's an encouragement that is given. And so when we think about us for just a moment, I want you to reflect on your home. I want you to reflect on your home. Some of you may have damage to your home from a recent storm. Some of you may have moved recently from a different town to this town or from this house to that. Regardless of your experience, I want you to count your places. Where have you been? Seriously, do this. Maybe not today, but right now in this moment, but do it sometime this week. Count the places where you have lived. Then as you count all of the different places, I want you to name your home. I want you to name your home. Where's your home? Your home is not there. Your home is in God, an everlasting home, an everlasting place of comfort. Moses begins this great psalm by reminding the nation of Israel, reminding himself and reminding us where our true home is found. It's found in God. But as Moses lived out his life with his home being God, he makes a couple of observations in the first 11 verses of the psalm about the nature of life. And the first observation he makes about the nature of life is that life is brief. Life is brief. We see this in verses 3 and 4. In verse 3, he says, "You return man to dust." Moses is acknowledging that we will not live in this body forever, that there will come a time when our days on this earth will come to an end. Moses acknowledges that in the psalm. Now, how long do we live? Well, he gives us some reflection on the length of our days. In verse 4, he makes this comment. He says, "For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night." He makes this statement that time runs different for God. But I think that his expression here of 1,000 years is intentional, and it communicates a very important point. Do y'all realize that there were people who lived on this earth at one point who lived for 1,000 years? In the very early days, according to God's good purpose to populate the earth, people lived a very long time. Some lived like 1,000 years. What do we call someone who lived 1,000 years? We call them old, right? That's what we call them. You can imagine, can you imagine living 1,000 years? I mean, I feel old at 50. My son laughs at how loud my knees pop when I get up and down at 50. Imagine living 950 more years. I think what Moses is reflecting on in this psalm is he says, you know, the people that we would consider to live the longest life lived maybe 1,000 years. Adam and Noah, some of those folks. But Moses also acknowledged that in today's life, people live more like 70 years, or maybe if they're lucky, 80. And when we think about our lives today, we might think of those who live a very long life that might live all the way into their 90s or even into their early 100s. But whether you lived 1,000 years or you lived 100 years or you lived 20 years, it's all a brief life compared to eternity. Our life on this planet is very short compared to a God who lives and reigns from everlasting to everlasting. He says that our lives are like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and it is renewed, and in the evening it fades and withers. I've been to Israel in 3 different seasons. I've been there in the spring, I've been there in the summer, and I've been there in the fall. And one of the things that I've seen and experienced is that grass does not live long in the desert. In the spring rains, flowers and grasses pop up and they're beautiful in March. But if you go back in June, they're beginning to brown or have completely disappeared. And by the fall, it is just rock that you see. What's Moses saying? He says, like we have seen the grass have a very short lifespan in the desert, so also our lives have a very short run upon the earth. Life is brief. And why is our life brief? Well, it's because of sin and God's judgment. We see this in verses 7 and 9. He says, "For we are brought to an end by your anger, by your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh." What's he talking about here? Is he saying that because we have individually sinned, that God has judged us with a short life? Well, I think that his big idea that he's getting at is that God's intention initially for humanity was that we would live forever. He placed Adam and Eve in the garden with access to the tree of life. But when they sinned, God kicked them out of the garden and set separation between them and the tree of life that led to a shortening of their days. So Moses is simply acknowledging the fact that because we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God as people, we find our lives brief, shorter than we would hope or imagine. So Moses talks about life, and he says that life is brief. But then he goes on, and he also says that life is difficult. Life is not just brief, it is also difficult. It's hard. And we see this in verse 10, when after mentioning the length of our lives, he says that our span is full of toil and trouble. Life is tough. Now, some of us might hear this and go, really, Moses? Your life was tough? I mean, come on, you were Moses. They make movies about you later. You're in the Bible. I mean, come on, was your life really that hard? Friends, Moses' life was tough. When he was born, they wanted to kill him, along with all of his contemporaries. He lived in a godless society. He grew up in a culture in Egypt where there was a fake temple to a fake god on every corner. Moses killed someone, and that led to living 40 years in exile in Midian. And then God goes and reinstates Moses and sends him back into Egypt to rescue his people. And Moses had to stand up to Pharaoh. And whatever hero moment we think this might have been, I think it was terrifying for Moses to go back and stand before Pharaoh. And yet that's what God had called him to do. It was difficult. And then after God delivered his people out of Egypt, Moses leads them into the desert. You can imagine the complaints that would come as you left the lush conditions of Egypt, mistreated though they were by the Egyptians, leaving that lush location to go wander in the wilderness for a number of years. And he was camping with them for 40 years, living in 42 locations. Some of you have a 40-hour rule when you go camping. You may go camp, but 40 hours after it starts, you want to be in a shower. Moses led a camping trip for 40 years in the wilderness. He had challenges with his family, challenges with his wife at times, challenges with his brother and sister at times. And he had to deal with unmet expectations, the expectations of the people, but also even his expectations as he longed to see the promised land, to enter it and take possession of it. And God said, no, you will not be the one to do that. See, Moses had a difficult life as well. And we need to remember that. Moses knew what he was talking about when he said that life was both brief and life was difficult. And yet in the face of this brief and difficult life, Moses makes this statement in verse 11. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? Moses, it's as if he's looking out over the vast ocean of the brevity and difficulty of life and says, God, I feel very small compared to how great you are. So before we go any further, I want to just have us reflect for a moment on the brevity and difficulty of life. First thing I would ask is this, do you understand that life is brief? Now, when I say that, if you're over the age of 20, you say, absolutely, I know that life is brief. Because you've attended multiple memorial services for those that you love. Even if you're under the age of 20, you may have already experienced loss like that. We know that we don't have forever to live on this earth in this life. Our life is brief, and we have many, many reminders of that. You know that life is brief. And second, are we experiencing life's difficulties? Again, I would hazard a guess to say, yes, we are experiencing life's difficulties. The money doesn't go as far as we want it to go. Our relationships are not running as smooth as we want them to run. Our challenges in our own personal lives are filled with with sin and temptation. Illnesses are around the corner in our lives or being experienced by the lives of those we know and love. Friends, we are familiar with the concept that life is both brief and difficult. Now, when I go through all of that and we walk through these 11 verses, I know what some of you are probably thinking. You're probably thinking, gee, Pastor, thanks for inviting us here on Mother's Day to be told that life is brief and difficult, that it's short and it's really tough. I mean, is there any hope in the midst of all this? Well, friends, of course, the answer to that is absolutely yes. These things remind us of how small we are compared to how big God is, but we also need to remember that our big God wants to help us in the midst of our struggle. Life may be brief and difficult, but God is eternal and powerful, and our God, oh God, is our helper. Now, when I put this phrasing up on the screen, oh God, our help, some of you want to sing the rest of it, right? Oh God, our help in ages past. You know where that phrase comes from? It comes from a song that was written in the 1700s by Isaac Watts, who wrote a collection of poems that were connected to the Psalms. And the poem that Isaac Watts wrote connected to Psalm 90 was this poem. And the first stanza says this: O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. These words were written by Watts because inside of Psalm 90, he correctly saw Moses' connection between the difficulty and the brevity of life and our ability to call out to God to help us in the midst of those troubles. So how do we call out to God for help in the midst of life's brevity and difficulty? And what would we even pray? Oftentimes, when we think about how we might pray in the face of difficulty, in the face of life's brevity, is just something like this: God, help. We don't know what else to say. Just help, or take it away, or make it better. But Moses provides three different prayers. He provides three prayers that might take us a little deeper in how we might pray in the face of life's brevity and difficulty. The first prayer that Moses prays is found in verse 12, and it's the prayer that says, Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. What Moses is saying is, in light of the brevity of life, in light of the fact that I don't have an infinite number of days, God, may you teach me to value every one of them. To say it another way, God, would you help me understand how I might live each day in a way that is pleasing to you, that I wouldn't waste a season of my life. Friends, this is a prayer that each of us can pray in the face of reminders of life's brevity. God, may you teach me to number my days that I might live with wisdom and not waste my life. What would that look like? Well, it means that we don't throw away any seasons of our life. If we have any here today who are children, who are under the age of 18, I would say this: don't waste your elementary school years. Don't waste your middle school years. Don't waste your high school years. But instead, invest these moments, invest this year for God and his plans. May you live to glorify him and to make him known in this season of your life. I would say the same to college students. College students, don't waste your summer. You're not hitting pause on your spiritual life until fall. Walk with God in May, June, July, and the first half of August. Don't waste your summer. Number your days. You don't know how many you will have. Let's say that to those who are single and just out of college. Don't put your spiritual life on hold and wait to pick it up until you have a family. In this season of your life, number your days. Ask God to teach you to value the days that he has given you, that you might live honoring him. Parents, don't duck your head and say, I'll raise it when my kids are a certain age. But instead, continue to walk with God. Pray to God regularly. God, Help me to number my days. I don't know how many days I have, and life is brief. May I honor you in this season of my life. And this would go on to empty nesters, those whose children are grown, or your retirement years. Don't waste your life. Don't, when you experience the challenge and difficulty of cancer, don't hit pause on your spiritual life, but you can continue to walk with God and honor him in that season. That we might wake up every day reminded by the brevity and difficulty of life and say to God, God, teach us to number our days, that we might have a heart of wisdom in the way that we live out our spiritual lives before you. Dear friends, are you praying that prayer to God? Are you saying right now, God, I will trust you and walk with you later? Friends, life is brief. You don't know how many days that you have. So trust him now. Trust Christ now. Walk with him in this season. Ask him to teach us to number our days. Second prayer that Moses prays, satisfy us. Satisfy us. A prayer that you and I can pray in the face of life's brevity and difficulty is, God, satisfy us. He says, return, O Lord. How long? In other words, God, we want you to return your blessing upon us. That's what Moses is praying. He says, have pity on us. We have sinned. We've fallen short. On the basis of your grace, God, would you restore your blessing to us? In the same way, we might be able to go before the Lord regularly in the face of the difficulties of this life and ask God to return his blessing upon us and to satisfy us in the morning with his steadfast love. Now, Moses wrote this. And so some of you are familiar with the account of Moses' life in the life of the nation of Israel during their time of wandering in the wilderness. Now, out in the wilderness where they were wandering, there were no Aldis. There were no grocery stores, and there was no bottled water. And so in order for this million-person procession through the wilderness to survive, they needed God to provide for them every day. And God provided for them every morning with what? With manna, right? Now, when we hear that, we think, what is manna? Well, it's not really described. God just provided it. They had manna every day, and that's remarkable. And we read that, and it's a few sentences, and we go, wow, God provided for them supernaturally with this manna to eat every day. But think about that against the backdrop of your own life. Many in this room get tired of Cheerios after 7 days. And we want to have something else for breakfast in week two. For 40 years, God provided for them the same thing every morning. And so what God provided on the first day that was celebrated as manna, by day 10, by day 100, it was manna, right? So what is Moses saying here? He says, God, when we wake up in the morning, may we be satisfied in your provision. That on day 100, on year 10, on year 30, that we might see the manna for what it is, an expression of your love and your care for us. Friends, it is a great prayer for us to pray in the midst of life's difficulties. Lord, would you satisfy me today with your provision today? Lord, what you are giving us and providing for us today, may we rejoice and be glad. May we be glad for the way that you are providing for us right now. We have lived in the midst of this difficulty, but your provision is ample and sufficient for us. Friends, as you wake up in the morning, your mind might want to drift to the difficulties of life. Before you get stuck there, may you pray to God and say, God, satisfy me in your love today. Now, what's interesting is God provided for them manna, but how does God provide for us? Well, friends, he provides for us through his word. I love what Jesus said when he was confronted and tempted by Satan in Matthew 4. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. God has provided for us his word. And his word, which is the bread of God, also points to who? Points to Jesus, the ultimate bread of God. So friends, as we gather in the morning and we wake up and we pray this prayer, we're saying, God, may I be satisfied in the provision that is found in Christ. And may I drink deeply and draw from the riches of the resources of your word and your provision for my life. And as we begin to do that, we realize the blessing that is found in him. I love what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, this momentary light affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. The difficulties of this life will come to an end, but God's blessings will live on forever. Our experience of them now is but a shadow of their full representation in eternity. We can be satisfied and be glad and rejoice today because we will get to live in light of God's blessing forever. And so we can pray in the morning that God would satisfy us, to number our days and to satisfy us. That's what Moses is teaching us. And then the third thing that Moses instructs us to pray about is that we might be shown the work of God. He says, let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Moses is saying life is brief, life is difficult, but God, may we have eyes to see your hand at work around us. And may we be able to participate in your work as you give us opportunity. In the midst of this brief and difficult life, we can pray and ask for eyes to see God's hand at work. And we can ask for opportunities for his work to be established in our networks as we engage with others and serve him according to the opportunities and gifts that he has presented to us. See, these are three different prayers that Moses teaches us to pray in the face of life's brevity and difficulty. So, when we tie all of this together, I want to just close with this thought. The first thing I want to say is this. May we reflect on this brief and difficult life. I think it is healthy for us at times to just call it what it is. Life is tough because it's short, and we've had to say goodbye too soon to people that we love. And we don't know how many days that we have been promised. Reflect upon that. And reflect upon the difficulties that we are experiencing. But as we reflect on those things, may it prompt us to make our home in God by praying to him, asking him to number our days, to satisfy us in his love, and to show us his work. May we each spend some time this week and in the days ahead and the years ahead, as long as God gives us, beginning our days praying these prayers. God is able to help us, and we can trust him. Would you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus, thank you so much for just this great truth that we've seen here in these verses today. Thank you that you had Moses write them and that you preserved them so that we could read them today. May we today, dear Lord, be a people who make our home in you, who find our comfort in you, an everlasting stronghold that never changes. Lord, may we wake up every day and just be satisfied by the expressions of love that you have given to us. We thank you and we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.